Big Adieu home on a Thursday. It's the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. Always connected to us on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Big hour on the way. TinCast President Mike Nutter is going to join us coming up at 520. If you've got kids that maybe are over 16 or maybe home from college, this is a perfect way for them to pick up a few bucks. And you know what? I said this on Twitter, and I think we should challenge all coaches. If you coach high school programs and you're currently working with your kids in summer programs, or if you're a college coach, whether you're at Indiana Tech, St. Francis, Purdue, Fort Wayne, and you've got players that are here for the summer, why not have them work at Parkview Field and work for the Tin Caps and make a little extra money? It doesn't hurt to have them doing a job that they can learn some discipline and get a chance to meet the community. And I think it'd be a terrific idea for coaches to encourage their players and whoever else they might know to work for the Tin Caps, because right now the Tin Caps are desperately looking for staff. They're trying to complete their staffing so that they can go full capacity when we get to June 29th, when the Tin Caps have an opportunity to sell every seat in the building and expand the available capacity. And Mike Nutter is going to talk to us about that coming up at 5:20. Also on the way, Tommy Schegler has a Tommy's Top 5 for us today, going through the top girls teams of 2020-2021. And we've got that coming up at 5:35. Once again, 46862, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. In fact, speaking of the Tin Caps, it's been a couple of tough nights for the Tin Caps, listening to John Nolan and Jack McMullen on the call right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Tin Caps gave up a 4-1 lead on Tuesday, gave up four runs in the bottom of the ninth, and lost the game 5-4 to start this six-game series. And then last night, fell behind 3-0. They made it 3-1. They made it 3-2, and then just could not get over the hump and get the big hit late in the game. And they end up falling to the Dayton Dragons for the second consecutive game by one run. Last night's final was 3-2. They're back at it tonight, 7:05 from Dayton. 6:45, the pregame show. John Nolan, Jack McMullen on the call with the Hoopy Insurance Services pregame show, starting it all off at 6:45. Well, we have talked about this whole situation with baseball sticky stuff and what it means for pitchers. And you've got pitchers that are claiming there's going to be an increase in injuries to pitchers if they take away the sticky stuff. You've got pitchers that are complaining that it's the only way they can grip the baseball. They can't control the baseball if they don't have something to put on it. What's amazing to me at this point, Caleb, is the number of pitchers that are starting to come out vocally against baseball enforcing the illegal substance rule. Now, it's a rule that's been in place. If anybody's been using it, they've been cheating, because it's a rule that's in place. So if they're going to come out and say, I don't think it's fair that now they're going to not let us cheat anymore, I don't know what their point really is, because they shouldn't have been using it in the first place. But you're hearing more and more these pitchers that are coming out and talking, and Gerrit Cole is among them. You've got a number of pitchers that have spoken about it, but there's also a story that had a chance to see on Sports 610 Radio that there was a clubhouse employee, Brian Bubba Harkins. He was fired by as visiting clubhouse manager for the Los Angeles Angels in March of 2020. And basically, then general manager Billy Epler, citing his creation and distribution of a foreign substance that he was giving to players. That was the reason for his firing. But apparently he was doing this for some time, and he was fairly well known around Major League Baseball, especially among pitching circles, because guys would go and they would they would play out in Anaheim Stadium, and you know, they'd find out about this guy. They'd try a little bit of his substance, and then they'd go back. They'd tell the pitchers on their staff. Those pitchers then would get traded to other organizations. And eventually, this guy was a pretty well-known commodity, I guess you would call him, around Major League Baseball, especially for pitchers. They started to order this special substance that he was concocting, and now he's actually talking. And he's saying some of the players that he provided it for. And the list includes three-time Cy Young Award winner Max Scherzer, two-time American League Cy Young Award winner Corey Kluber, three-time All-Star Gerrit Cole, three-time All-Star Adam Wainwright, one-time All-Star Edwin Jackson, Jelba Chamberlain, who spent 10 Major League seasons with the Yankees, also with the Tigers, Royals, and Cleveland, Tyler Chatwood, currently on the Toronto Blue Jays staff. He was a former Angel, and that's apparently his connection. But, you know, I guess the question, and there's also information that he provided to Justin Verlander, among others. So here's the thing. How widespread is it? Is this really something where it's taken over baseball and pitchers have felt like they've gotten away with it, and they've almost gotten away with it, and so many have gotten away with it that it's become the norm? Because I feel like that's what happened with steroids, is that hitters knew almost everybody else had this advantage. So for them, they didn't feel like they were cheating, because if everybody does it, it's not cheating. You're not gaining an advantage. Cheating is only when you gain an advantage. But if you do it because they're doing it, and they're doing it because the guy next to them is doing it, then it's no longer cheating. And I think that's what we've got in baseball right now with the pitchers. Nobody's cheating because everybody's doing it.
If it's against the rules, it's cheating. It's pretty simple. And, you know, people were wondering, well, you know, why are the offensive numbers so poor in baseball suddenly? Huh, wonder why. Maybe because of this. Maybe because of this sticky substance pitchers have been using. And Major League Baseball has done a terrible job of getting out ahead of this, because they're like, well, they let these things happen. They don't lead.
Do you think they've known about it?
Oh, I'm sure they knew about steroids the whole time. I'm sure they knew about this. They just refused to enforce the rule. And that's on Major League Baseball and their inept management, because, I mean, look, they're the only league that consistently has this problem. Now, I will say the NFL has gotten away with not testing for HGH forever, and no one seems to care. But, you know, with Major League Baseball, they have these problems, one, because they let them happen, two, because instead of getting out ahead of it, they just let all these leaks occur, and then they're like, oh, maybe we should do something about it. It's too late. Like, you've already gotten another black eye from it.
And the funny thing is, baseball has protected its own, because there's no question that general managers and other players have known that pitchers are putting the sticky stuff on the baseball and on their fingers to get a little better grip. Well, you know, we get this technology, and everybody's talking about Sabermetrics, whatever it is, where we now have spin rate. We didn't have spin rate when I played. We had no idea what the term even meant back then. But now we have spin rate, and now we're measuring spin rate by a lot of pitchers that all of a sudden over their last start or two has considerably dropped. Gerrit Cole, his spin rate has dropped almost 20% over his last couple of starts. And now baseball's looking at those numbers and that data to determine, oh, well, here's where he actually stopped using the stuff, because now he's at risk of being caught. But
Gerrit Cole's comments on that the other day, I mean, it's just, he was so dumbfounded
and didn't know what to say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, how else can you say you're cheating without saying you're cheating?
Yeah. I mean, exactly. I mean, it's like, well, you're saying you're cheating, I mean, without saying it. And that's exactly what he did. And, you know, and then for pitchers to come out and say, if baseball, and maybe they're not admitting to the use of it, but they're saying, well, if baseball does this and they remove this from the game, you're going to have a lot of players that are going to be endangered, because pitchers will now have no control over the baseball. And I'm like, a lot of people have played baseball. They've learned to throw strikes without putting something sticky on their hand, without spider tack, without rosin and sunscreen. I mean, I think you can manage. I think you'll be able to get there.
Baseball's been around for over 150 years. I think they're going to find a way to throw the baseball. I think it's possible.
46862, the Barkley Sports Medicine text line, 46862. But I can't control it. If I can't grip it, I can't control it. I have no idea where it's going. That's some of the pitcher's response to this. Brooklyn, Milwaukee, game six comes up tonight. You know, we talked about this earlier, that there's a lot of attention being paid to Paul George and the terrific job he did for the Clippers last night in their win at Utah. And he was terrific, 37 points in Kawhi Leonard's absence. But, you know, also Kevin Durant got a lot of pub yesterday about how he led Brooklyn. And with a James Harden that obviously was gimpy, that scored only 5 points, and Kyrie Irving not being able to play, that Kevin Durant just took over, dominated, and he was the difference for the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I'm not going to say he wasn't the difference, because he was unbelievable. But I also think in both situations, you had guys that were secondary players, role players, that stepped up and played huge in their roles. And for the Clippers, it was Reggie Jackson, who, you know, he averaged 18 points a game for Detroit, but that was like 7-8 years ago. All of a sudden, he looked like that Reggie Jackson. Had a lot of life, a bounce to his step. He scored points, and, you know, what, he scored 22 last night or 24 points. He had a terrific game. And then you had Jeff Green, who stepped up and I thought was huge for Brooklyn in the Game 5 win against Milwaukee. So, you know, you want to give credit where credit is due. And yes, Kevin Durant was great. Had an unbelievable monster performance with 49 points. But Jeff Green also had almost an equally good performance for a guy that's just a role player. And I think the same could be said for the Clippers last night. Paul George, Marcus Morris was really good last night too. He had a huge game for the Los Angeles Clippers. And they needed that kind of help because Kawhi Leonard had carried them over the last couple of games in Los Angeles. Then they go to Utah. We were completely convinced that it was no chance for the Clippers without Kawhi Leonard. They end up winning Game 5. Now they've got a chance to win the series going back home. And Donovan Mitchell, clearly not himself. The question is Kawhi Leonard, and what's his status going to be? And Caleb, we're reading reports today that he's out, quote, indefinitely, that there is concern this could be an ACL injury, that certainly sounds like that's going to be a problem to get him back at all. So I think the Clippers are going to have repeat performances from playoff P. But how do you think Pacers fans felt last night? You're watching last night, and you see Nate McMillan getting an unbelievable win with Atlanta, and that even temperament of Nate McMillan was perfect, because he never gets too high, never gets too low. And so when the team's down by 26, you're still getting the same confident Nate McMillan, you know, going through the plays just as if it's a 0-0 game or a tie game. And his team eventually catches some fire, plays some defense. Philadelphia absolutely collapses. And there's Nate McMillan now taking a 3-2 lead in the series against the Philadelphia 76ers. And they've got a chance to win it on their home court in Game 6 and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then you wait for the late game, and what do you see? But you see playoff P. You see Paul George playing perhaps better than he did even in his prime in Indianapolis. And what else you saw last night was Utah with Bogdanovich going off in the first half. And you're thinking, man, what could have been if all these guys just would have stayed in Pacers uniforms? You could have had Paul George, Bogdanovich, Nate McMillan as the coach, but now they're all having success elsewhere. What does it mean to the organization? Did they make mistakes? Kind of interesting. Kind of tough to watch if you're a Pacers fan. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about job opportunities and plenty of baseball still remaining downtown at Parkview Field. We've got TinCast President Mike Nutter that joins us next on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. We are back on the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Always glad to have you with us. And, of course, our text line is open, the Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Questions, comments, suggestions, what's on your mind, let us know. And right now we turn to the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, where we welcome our guest from the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. It's President Mike Nutter. Oh, Mike, this has been a tough team to follow this year. It just, they can't seem to string things together. We went into last weekend, Mike. We were talking two things the Tin Caps need to do. They need to be more consistent offensively, get more production for more guys in the order, and they need to have better relief pitching. And so over the weekend, they got it. We felt really good about them. And then on Tuesday, the relief pitching failed. And last night, The bats just couldn't come through. It's really tough, the ups and downs we've seen so far with this team this year.
Absolutely. And, you know, you look at somebody like Ethan Elliott, and he's pitched well enough, it feels like, to win every game he's been in. And so it's a complete thing. I think you described it perfectly. We just haven't been able to get on that longer streak. When we've won two or three in a row, it feels like we come right back and return the favor and lose two or three in a row. The starting pitching seems to be really solid. Lowen at the back of the bullpen seems to be solid. With some injuries and some things above us, we've lost a couple guys to promotion to Double A the last few days. But that's a good thing for those young men as well.
You know, and you know, sometimes it's one of those things where you hate to lose guys, but you're always so proud, almost as a father, when a guy that puts in the work gets the opportunity. Duane William Sutton, to me, is one of those types of guys.
Absolutely. Great kid. You know, people see him, and back in 19, you know, he got hit like 30 times that year. He's the nicest, down-to-earth, grounded young man. I enjoy talking to him. And Juwan Harris on a daily basis when they come in. Those guys might ask me from anything of where's the best taco place in Fort Wayne to something about music and stuff. They're fun guys. We're proud of him. I hope he goes up there and does really well.
Talking to TinCaps president Mike Nutter. TinCaps on the road for 2 weeks. How did you survive that two-week homestand, the longest in TinCaps/Wizards history?
We got through it a lot better than I thought we would. And then the day ended, you know, obviously we played on Sunday, and everybody was dragging, and then there was an event that wasn't open to the public or to be discussed ahead of time, but the Padres flew in general manager A.J. Preller, his assistant GM Josh Stein, and literally 20-some other scouts, Brent, and had a private workout for some guys that they're thinking about drafting in the upcoming draft. And so Keith Winter and his crew deserve all the credit, because it was a 12-gamer, but it looked awesome on Monday for day 13. And then when we wrapped up that event, Keith and Jake and Jackson on his crew started to do all the top dressing on all the work to give that field a little bit of a break for the next couple weeks.
Well, it will be back in action on June 29th. And, of course, the good news, more fans, as you'll be able to sell every seat in the facility. But it also means more staffing needs. And I know you have put pleas out on social media. This is somewhat urgent for the Tin Caps to find employees so they can continue to service these larger crowds that are going to be coming into Parkview Field.
There's no question about it. The fans have been so awesome and patient through this stuff. It was like masks for the first week, and then we got able to move past that. And everybody's been great rolling with the flow the last few weeks since the season started. But as we open it up, it is a plea, and we're paying more than ever, and there's all kinds of different jobs, and there's serving jobs up in the suite level and runner jobs and overnight cleaning crew and concessions and picnics and some really good jobs. And I'm not just saying that. We're paying more than we've ever done. We're worried that when we get back on June 29th, and maybe not that night on a Tuesday or Wednesday, but as we creep closer to Independence Day and July 4th, we are short, and I know fans are just happy to get to the ballpark, but a guy like me is pretty competitive, and we want to uphold the level of service we've done in the past. And people have been great. You know, hey, my daughter is this old. Can she do it? And it's like, hey, we'll take high school kids up through retirees. We'll take anybody that wants to come out. TinCaps jobs, both plural.com. Everything's listed on there. We would love to have people join the team. Yes, it's a job, but it's a lot of fun. They can be around that award-winning ballpark and some great people and really have a blast and learn a little bit of the behind-the-scenes stuff.
What is the commitment that they make when they apply for a job with the Tin Caps? Because, I mean, you might have some kids that say, I don't want to give up 6 days of my week during the summer. Can they pick and choose? Can they work a more limited schedule? What are you looking for exactly?
Absolutely. So obviously for us, the more the better. But absolutely, you know, our daughter got her job. She passed the background check, and Caitlin went to work for us this year for the first time ever. And of a 6-game homestand, she was averaging like 3 or 4, which is totally appropriate. If somebody wanted to work 2 or 3, we can do it. If somebody wants to work them all, they can. We also understand that some people might have other jobs, and they want to work our job just on the weekends when their other one is not in play, and that's great for us too, because that's when our crowds are the biggest and we need the most people. So very flexible. they'll be approached week to week or month to month. Hey, what can you work next week, next month? It's totally good. It's very flexible.
What's the process right now to apply? Is it all online? Can they stop at Parkview Field? What with protocols in place, what do they need to do to apply?
So the ballpark and the office are finally open, and so they can come by if they'd like. They could also literally log on right now, tincapsjobs.com, fill it out. Kathy, our office manager, will get it tomorrow, do a real quick check, and I would not be surprised, tomorrow being Friday, if they heard from somebody tomorrow or Monday saying, can you come in either for an interview or, hey, you're hired. How soon can you start? And it's not that we're, you know, hey, it's still a family-friendly environment. We want to have the right people. They can come by, they can do it online, and they can start by the next game. And one of the great events we've always done is the Fort Wayne Philharmonic event. It's always been July 3rd in the past when we had a different schedule like that. That's going to be Saturday, June 26th, before we return to town. People can work Parkview Field events in addition to the games if they choose to. There's a lot of opportunity to do, what do the kids call it, a side hustle?
That lingo is a decade or two behind me, Mike. You're hip on that lingo. I'm not.
Yeah, that didn't come off real smooth, and neither does the name High A Central.
That's true. Is there ever going to be a league name, or is it just going to stick as High A Central?
I think there will be a league name, and I think it might go the way of the NHL. And so the Major League Baseball folks are the oversight of it and in charge of it. And we've heard some rumblings with no specific names, but we've heard some, I don't know if it's rumblings or just rumors, that they could become corporate-sponsored names as soon as next year. So I don't know if it would be, you know, Phil, you know what I mean? I don't want to use a corporate sponsor on your broadcast here in case somebody else, but the such-and-such High A Central, or if it'll be, you know, something like that. But we've been told these are placeholders now, and it will change. And hopefully it's something a little more eloquent in the future.
And tickets for the next homestand. I know it's been kind of vague as far as exactly what is available. Right now, is it just all the seats? Is there are the lawn seats expanding? What exactly is the status going into this next homestand?
Every seat that they see is available for the next homestand. The one that we're not sure about is standing room only at this point. We did a couple hundred of them that last Saturday night game that we played, that great game that we just played last week on Saturday. And we did our first thing of standing room as we open. And people know me. We don't like saying no to people. There's no more seats. You can't come in. We can't take your money. As we start next Thursday when we're in town, we will have the ability to go up in the 7,000 range. So every seat, all the lawn, all that stuff is open for what people are used to. We're just not sure where we started this with the service levels and all the people we need to work. You know, if we sell an extra few hundred standing room, or in the case of July 4th in the years past, we've sold 2,000 standing room, is everybody mad because then you can't get the service? We just want to be smart about it with the long term, because our fans have been so patient and so great over the years.
Well, I hope everybody that knows anybody comes out to apply and takes advantage of this opportunity to work with such a great organization and for such great bosses downtown Parkview Field for the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. And real quick, while we've got you, Mike, what's the status for the tickets? I know they went on sale Tuesday for the start of this homestand on the 29th, but this is the biggest weekend. That July 4th weekend is always kind of the peak of the season, and you got fireworks 3 consecutive days, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So I would imagine there's going to be a pretty good demand on those dates. Where do tickets stand at this point for those particular games?
Great question. We still have tickets for all of them. The 4th is the most limited at this point. In the 24 hours or the day, the work day on Tuesday and then overnight Tuesday night going into Wednesday, we sold 2,500 tickets. Somebody said, how does that compare? I said, I don't know. We've never done this before. And so of the 2,500 tickets that we sold, 1,900 were July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. So that tells us people are ready to get back to the ballpark. And they're going to come over that weekend that in any normal year is the biggest weekend of the year as well. But there's still tickets for everything. Again, people think that I'm P.T. Barnum when I say this or something. If you think you're coming to the 4th, grab them now. If you're not going to get stuck with them. If your plans change, you can give them to a friend. You can sell them to somebody. Like, if you wait till July 3rd or the day of the 4th, I just don't believe we're going to have them.
Yep. The definitely the most in-demand tickets of the year at the July 4th Tin Caps game. All right, Mike, appreciate you taking time to jump on with us. Good luck with the hiring over the next week, and we can't wait to see the Tin Caps back at home on June 29th.
Thanks so much to you and Caleb. Have a great day.
Absolutely. That's Mike Nutter, TinCast president, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. When we return, we've got Tommy Schegler. It's another edition of Tommy's Top 5. We're going to break down the top five girls high school teams from 2020-2021. And we do that next on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. It's that time of the week. We always welcome Tommy Schegler, Parkview Sports Medicine Director, to our little show. He joins us now on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Good afternoon, Tommy.
Rumpy, good afternoon to you, my friend.
And let's, good thing that you're not on the golf course right now. Did you hit the little white ball today? Because I really wanted to go out and hit the white ball.
I was out there yesterday evening, and it was about as perfect can be.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous right now. Just absolutely perfect. And speaking of golf, U.S. Open taking place out of Torrey Pines in La Jolla, California. And, of course, all eyes are on Phil Mickelson. But right now it is Russell Henley, everybody's pick to win this weekend. Russell Henley is -4 and leading the field at the U.S. Open. Who do you like in that, by the way, Tommy? Do you have favorites going into this weekend?
You know, I think that when you look at it, the U.S. Open, I find to be the most difficult of all of them to ever gauge because it's such treacherous conditions every year that it really does come down to not just who gets hot that week, but who gets the luck, who gets the bounces, whose, you know, ball holds on those crazy fast greens, doesn't roll off the back, so on and so forth. I mean, it's very difficult, but I would say Koepka, again, will be in the hunt. I'm just pulling up the leaderboard here, and he was 2-under today, just 2 off the lead. Henley, of course, will, you know, inevitably fall apart. Of course, as I say that, he'll be, you know, he'll win by 15 strokes. But, you know, I think Koepka is probably your best money right now. When you look at the leaderboard right now, except for Xavier Schauffele, there's just not many names, period, in the top, you know, that are yeah. Below par or even that are many names that most people will know. So interesting looking leaderboard after day one.
But, you know, with the U.S. Open, the tough thing about it is it is set up to be so challenging that you could have a guy that gets hot for one round go 3-4 under, and you could have all the leaders that are struggling just to get to par. So you could get a big swing in this leaderboard pretty quickly. By the way, Phil Mickelson finished at a 75 today. That is 4 over par. He's currently tied for 69th place. Guys that are tied there with him include Colin Morikawa, Tony Finau, Justin Thomas was 2 over. But you mentioned Schauffele. I mean, this guy, he's due at some point. I mean, he's always there on the leaderboard, and he just seems to always crack at some point just enough that he can't get the job done. But I kind of got a thing for Xander Schauffele this weekend. I think maybe he's due, and he's off to a good start with a 69 on day one. I think Schauffele might be my pick to win it all.
It is, and that's not a bad pick. I mean, he has been around. He is due. You're definitely right. It should be of note, you know, as of right now, because it is a West Coast tournament, Bryson DeChambeau, Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson, Rahm, Patrick Reed, McIlroy, Cantlay, all these guys have not even teed off yet.
The prime time crew hasn't teed off.
Yes. So we still got some big names to come. We'll see what it looks like by the end of the night. But I continue to like the way that Jordan, the season has been going. Yeah. I know it's been a little bit of a roller coaster, but and Rahm is another one that I thought was due maybe at the PGA Championship, but he's been hovering around on all of these leaderboards. So he's another one that I think he should keep an eye on.
And he might have a little extra motivation after what happened to him at Muirfield to maybe go out there and get what he thought he lost in that tournament in Dublin, Ohio. Hey, Tommy, we got to get to Tommy's Top 5. It's one of our favorite segments we do every time with you during the course of our high school seasons. But now it's kind of a wrap-up because last week we did the boys' Top 5, and it was the top five teams for 2020-2021. This week we give girls equal time, and we've got a Tommy's Top 5, so let's get right to it. With Tommy's Top 5, top girls teams of 2020-2021. And Tommy, would you please lead us off with number 5?
Number 5 is the Columbia City softball team. 26-7, all right, keep it down. First regional and sectional title since 2011. Beat SAC champs Northrop in the sectional final. Had a couple of great players on that team and 6 returning seniors next year. So it should be another good year next year for this Columbia City squad.
And we move up to number 4.
Norwell girls basketball. First regional title since 2014, back-to-back sectional titles, 3rd NEA title in 4 years. They had a couple of great players at the top of that roster. Kara Fueling or Filling, I feel like I've heard it said both ways. You're the expert here, Rumpy. Which
Filling.
One is it?
Filling.
Filling. Yep. Okay. You know, she was 15 points, 5 boards, almost 3 assists, all state honorable mention. She's going to St. Francis. And then you had Maya Shelton, who was also great, almost 20 points a game, all state first team, committed to Bethel.
The thing that's really nice about our cheering section is they're consistent. They show no bias. They give a very equal cheer to everyone. Let's go to number 3, Plus, Tommy.
It's because all my picks are great. Carroll girls basketball, number 3. This squad was 25-3. They were 9-0 in the SAC. They lost to the eventual state champions, Crown Point, at semi-state. First regional since 98. Second straight sectional. First SAC title. First conference title since 2007. That was when they, of course, were in the NHC. They had a 22-game winning streak during the season. Number 3, Carroll girls basketball.
We're getting oh so close to the number 1 spot, but who fell just short? Give us number 2.
Number 2 is the Dwenger girls soccer team. They didn't just dominate the SAC with an undefeated record, but they were the 2A state champions, 3rd all-time. They won it back-to-back in 05 and 06. State runners-up in 2019. Back-to-back semi-states, back-to-back regionals, 3rd straight sectional, 5 first-team all-SAC selections. They outscored opponents 74-4.
Woo!
That's pretty good. Number 2, Dwenger girls soccer.
Really, really good. That brings us to the top spot. It's a special edition of Tommy's Top 5. These are the top 5 girls teams of 2020-2021. And we get to hear who is number 1.
We are going to keep it with Dwenger Nation. The Bishop Dwenger volleyball team is number 1.
Woo! Woo! Yes! Yes!
33-2, 3A state champs, first state title, first ever semi-state title, first regional since 2016, 4th sectional in 5 years, 3rd straight SAC title. They had 4 first-team all-SAC selections. Ava Hudson, 3A all-state back-to-back Golden Spike winner, which is the SAC player of the year. She's going to Notre Dame. She's from Pineapple, one of Parkview Sports Medicine's clubs. Lost 6 sets all season. season. That was it. They were dominant, and they are number one Bishop Dwenger volleyball.
Absolutely fantastic, and a little special cheer for our number one team coming from the studio. Tommy, always enjoy having a chance to chat with you every Thursday. Tell us what the latest is happening at Parkview Sports Medicine.
We are rocking right now, you know, as people are getting ready for the fall sports season. I'm actually in my office right now looking down on our turf here at the Sport One Parkview Fieldhouse, completely packed. We have our EDGE program going for year-round athletic development for committed athletes. We have our summer training going as well. We're out at 6 area high schools doing the strength and conditioning top to bottom. Our athletic trainers are playing a part in that as well for Parkview Sports Medicine at all of our area schools. So if you want to get in touch with us and get enrolled in any of our PSM performance classes, you can do so at ParkviewSportsMedicine.com. And if you have any orthopedic needs, you can come here to the Sport One Parkview Fieldhouse and visit our walk-in Ortho Express Clinic.
Make it a great weekend. Make it a great week. We'll talk to you next Thursday, Tommy.
All right, buddy. We'll see you.
Tommy Shegler, Parkview Sports Medicine Director, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline as he counts down Tommy's top five with the top five girls teams of 2020-2021. We take our final break. We'll come back and wrap it up. It is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. In case you're doing any traveling this weekend, they're expecting some pretty high winds, mostly for central Indiana. It could impact our area. Derecho! Did I say it right? Derecho! With 60 to 70 mile per hour winds possibly expected in the Indianapolis area, along with strong storms. That comes up tomorrow, so you might want to keep an eye on the weather coming up starting overnight into tomorrow. Big game tonight. It's the Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. It is game 6 with Brooklyn trying to put away the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. Caleb, who do you got? Bucks or Nets?
I'm going to go with Bucks just because I think logic says the Nets.
I know. That's the way it's been for me, too. It's like, who do I want to pick? I'll just go ahead and say the opposite. So I'll go with the Bucks. I'll stick with you. Thanks to our guests that appeared on the show today. We had Ryan Abbott, who's the new Carroll Boys basketball coach. We had baseball coach Aaron Willard. From Eastside, they'll be playing Providence for a 2A state championship coming up on Monday night. Also, thanks to TinCaps President Mike Nutter. Information online at TinCapsJobs.com to get your TinCaps application and work at Parkview Field this summer. Plus, thanks to Tommy Shegler. That does it for us. We're back tomorrow with a Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.